these guys, they love Jesus. And like I said, one of the words I came back with, there's no time for church. God's bringing like-minded people, kingdom-minded people together and prepare the church. So this morning, I'm very honored to have Felix bringing the word. Come up here. Put your hands together for the Spirit of God in his life.
So it's an honor and privilege to bring the word forward. I haven't done this in a long time, and I just want to let you know the worst thing you could do is give a mic to a crazy Puerto Rican. Exactly like Pastor said, you know, Betty and I were on vacation one day, and normally when I come from work, there's different ways to get into the community. And so, but one day when I came in, because I work nights, I came in through Monette, and I saw the sign that's close to the sidewalk, and it said Restoration Church. Now, Betty and I, we've been living in the community for 17 years now, and it was really like, okay, that sign was not there a few months ago, so what's going on? Then as I came in, I saw the top of the church. It said Restoration Church. And I said, I know that sign was not there before. I'm not going crazy. So I told Betty about it, and shortly after that, we were on vacation, so we decided to come, and we wanted to welcome the pastor and all that, to, because we didn't know what was going on. They said, new church? Someone take it over? So we went and came here. Just like Pastor said, we came in. We heard music. There's nobody here, but there's music somewhere. So we said, okay, let's follow the music. So we went. We followed the music. It was coming out of Pastor's office. And, of course, there's a little window on the door. So we said, hey. And he looked at us like, oh, okay. Opened the door. And like he said, we clicked. We clicked. It was wonderful. Because it was a God thing. You know when it's God, when there's peace and where it's just smooth, you know. And, you know, when your spirit bears witness. You know, and so we talked for like an hour, really, and it was just good. It was good. Then after that, we came here, just telling you a little bit about how we got here, and Betty and I said, hey, let's make sure that if there's any community event that we would like to help, you know, and be part of it, because we were still going to another church, but we have been praying about leaving, so... You know, we want to do things right in God. You know, you don't want to do sporadic. You don't want to go by your emotions. You don't want to go by what other people say and dictate. You know, you want to hear the word of God, because my mom used to tell us growing up, and she used to tell my dad especially, whatever starts bad, ends bad. Right? And so we waited. We came, we shared in a couple of events, you know, and by the time November came around, we had them over. We had already decided, but we had the green light from God, and we had them over for dinner, and we let them know, hey, we want to start going to church, to Restoration Church, and we want to make it official. We just want to let you know what our decision is and all that. And Pastor already said, oh, I got plans for you already. I got plans, you know. And it was like, you know, whatever God wants, you know, we have to be willing and submissive and humble, you know, before God. And if you have that attitude, then God can use it. God can use you to minister to others. And, you know, we became members, and, you know, we've just been enjoying everything and everyone. You know, when we first came to the first service here, we were greeted so friendly. with everyone here. You know, one of the first people that greeted us was Jenna, that usually sits around over there. And she came over, she says, "Are you guys missionaries?" And I said, "No, sweetheart, we're not missionaries." It's like, you know, and then Lori and Sam, they were sitting right in front of us, and they introduced themselves, and they hugged us. Everybody has been so friendly, and I want to thank you for being so friendly, so welcoming. You know, it's a family. It's kingdom. It's kingdom. And that's what Pastor preaches, and that's the reality. You know, we need kingdom relationships, because the world has its own relationships out there, and it's a cutthroat relationship. You know, they're friends and all that, but you know what? When the world wants to step on you, they will step on you. Doesn't matter who you are, what you are, or where you come from, or whether it's your mother, father, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, they will get you. And we can't have that here in kingdom living. Kingdom principles, that does not exist. It shouldn't exist, never exist, because it's not of God. So, but what I would like to... What I would like to share with you today is actually has been said already here in the song and worship. You even mentioned about picking up the cross, one of my scriptures that I have, you know, and also what Becky shared, you know, we need restoration. That's what this church is, you know. What gripped me was the name of the church. My hand is shaking. The name of the church, Restoration, you know? And we need to be active and see when something gets your attention, you know? And the name Restoration is a lot. It means something very big, you know, because we need restoring. You know, we come from the world, right? Whether you grow up in church or not, but we pick up things. You know, we're born, right? We come out of our mother's womb. We're innocent. We're innocent. We don't know anything, you know. We want to slap the doctor that slaps us the first time when we come out, right? But, you know, as we live in this life, we pick up things. We pick up things. Things get thrown at us. We, you know, we go through changes. The world molds us, shapes us into what it thinks we should be, right? But like the word says, we live in this world, but we are not of this world. We are not to conform to the principles of this world, you see? And so my message today is about restoration and refinement. Okay, restoration and refinement, right? And so we go through a process of restoration. And so what is it and what does it mean? Restoration, the meaning of restoration is a return to something of a former, original, a return to something that was normal or impaired. Impaired condition. The restitution of something that was taken away or lost. Something that is restored by renovating or reconstruction or reproduction of an ancient building. Right? And so why is that important? Because in the process of life, things happen to us. We get hurt. You know, there's a saying that says, hurt people hurt people. You know? And we need to understand that the world hurts us a lot and tries to knock us down and tear us down, you know? And so we lose things. We lose our innocence. We lose our way of being, you know, growing up. You know, kids grow up and they're playing and all that. I still remember playing tag, playing hide and seek, playing kick the can. And I used to love playing kick the can because I was so good at it, you know. Yeah, you will hide. We like to play in the Bronx, you know. We didn't have, like, over here, you have parks all over the place. And so in the Bronx, where I grew up, it was, you know, you play in the street, you know. And so we play kick the can in the street, you know, and watch out for the cars that they don't either crush you or the can, right? So, and we used to like to play at night. And so we would play at night because you could hide in the shadow, right? And so I would come out all dressed in black because I could hide in the shadow. That was my thing, you know. I was good at it, right? So, but you lose those things as you grow up, you know. You tell someone now, hey, you want to play kick the can? Are you crazy? Crazy? Kick that can. I'm too old to play kick the can. My foot might stay there. Yeah? So, you know, but we lose things. And things get taken from us, right? Things get taken. Our thoughts get taken and get shaped by the world, you know? And so we start thinking different, you know? I remember one of the first times growing up that I said a bad word. And it was like, it shook me inside. Because I know that wasn't me, you know? That wasn't me. It had a bad taste. But if you continue it, it becomes normal for you. It becomes normal to you. You start doing it over and over again, you know? And so your innocence gets taken away, right? And so when we come to church, when we come to the Lord, right? Not to church, but to the Lord, right? Because we don't want to come to church to hang out, right? Church is not a hangout. Church is not a bingo place, right? Like other places have bingo, you know, Friday night bingo, Saturday night bingo, you know, music bingo and all that, right? But we come to church because we want to hear the word of God, you know? We want to hear the word of God. We want to hear what God is instructing the man of God, right? That's bringing forth the word, a word of wisdom, a word of caution, you know, the you know, direction. And so, you know, we come and we sit here and we wonder, what are we here for? What are we here for? Are we here just to come to church to hang out? No. God wants to restore us. God wants to restore our lives. You know, he's coming soon and he wants to restore. You know, sometimes we've gone through devastating moments in our lives, you know, a death in the family, a death in our marriage, a death. Betty and I haven't had the privilege of having children, but that's okay, you know, because sometimes you look at the kids these days that are out there, and it's like, you can go home. You can go home, okay? You can go home. I have two stickers in the back of my little car, and it says, my dogs behave better than your kids. Yeah. Because my dogs, I look at them and they know what I want. You know? I have a pit bull now that's partially blind, and his sister passed away last year, and she was a beautiful dog, you know? And she weighed 100 pounds, a 100-pound pit bull that can do a lot of damage if it wanted to. She had strong jaws. I felt those jaws a few times playing with her. She was never aggressive with me, you know. And I would play pulley rope with her. Several knots. And I would play with her brother, and they would pull me down. They dragged me on the floor a few times, right? But she would always try to dominate her brother. And I say that to say this, because I will tell him, do we have a problem? Do we have a problem? And they will look at me and say, no, Daddy, we do not have a problem. No. You know? And I say that because, you know, we need to train our children. Right? The word says, train your children in the way they should go. And what's the way? It's God's way. You know, if we have God's way in us, we can instill it in them. Right? And some people say, oh, you can't. You know, the word says, spare the rod, spoil the child. Right? Sometimes we spoil our children and we expect them to do what we want them to do. But mom and dad, you didn't teach us that. Forget about what I said. Just do it. Right? And that's not good. That's not good. So those things need to be restored in our, even in our children. And the young people that are here, be careful. Be careful. You know? I'm 65 years old. I know I look 25. Okay? Be careful. All right? Yeah. Because you don't know how the enemy will bring the most subtle thing into your lives. And then before you know it, you are dragged down that road and that path that will destroy your life. And it will take years before you can come back to a state of normalcy. You know, I have people in my family that they made a mistake when they were 14 and 15 and a little older than that, and the consequences has taken decades. I heard a message not too long ago, this minister that said, God gives us choices, right? We have a free will. And God gives us choices. And we make decisions. But we don't know what the consequence is going to be. Right? It could be either a blessing, right? Moses told that to the children of Israel. Blessing and cursing. And I advise you to choose the blessing. Because blessing will bring life. Right? And if you don't know what the consequence is going to be, rest assured, the pain will remind you. The pain will remind you of the consequences, because sometimes it takes years. You know, we could look at the life of David, and he made a lot of mistakes, you know, when he decided to commit adultery and kill Bathsheba's husband and then marry her and all that. And what did he do? He suffered a lot. You know? And he was broken and he needed to be restored. Right? And in Psalm 51:12, it says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. You know? Once you go down a certain path, it's so hard to get that joy back. You know, the joy of his salvation. You know, the joy of his salvation is being at peace with yourself, being at peace with God, being at peace with a family member that tribulates you, right? Being at peace with your enemies, right? And so we need that joy to be restored. We need restoration. Restoration, right? So the thought is to return or turn back or to bring back. That's what when David said, restore the joy of my salvation. Because he wanted to return. He wanted that to be brought back. You know? The other part of restoring, is refinement. Refinement is defined as the process of removing impurities or unwanted elements from a substance, the act of refining or the state of being refined. That's like the hardest thing, you know, because you know what? In order to be restored, sometimes we need to go through the refinement. There's no restoring without refining. You know? Because if you think that you can start a good habit, right? Oh, I'm gonna stop drinking, or I'm gonna stop smoking, or I'm gonna stop cursing, or I'm gonna stop eating so much, or I'm gonna stop arguing with my parents or with my brother or sister or with my grandmother or with my dog. You know what? It's just a habit. You know? You're not being restored. You need to be refined, because refinement means that your attitude is changed. Your heart is changed. Right? We can't be restored without being refined. You know? And let me trace back just a little bit and say that without redemption, there's no restoration. The Word of God says that the Lamb of God was slain from the foundation of the world. So it's already a done deal. But we have to go through the process of restoration, of refining. The journey is what causes us, because the journey means we have to let go of a lot of things. You know, we have to let go of our bad habits. We may have to let go of relationships. And so salvation, right? Redemption. Without redemption, there is no salvation, or even though salvation is free. The journey of salvation is what's going to cause us. In Matthew 16, 24 through 27, it says, it says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if you truly, truly want to follow me, you should at once completely reject and disown your life. And you must be willing to share my cross and experience it as your own, as you continually surrender to my ways. For if you choose self-sacrifice and lose your lives for my glory, you will continually discover true life. But if you choose to keep your lives for yourselves, you will forfeit what you try to keep. For even if you were to gain all the wealth and power of this world, with everything it could offer you, at the cost of your own life, what good would that be? And what could be more valuable to you than your own soul? You know, that's the cost of the journey. Salvation is free, right? Redemption cost Jesus. Jesus paid the price. But now we need to go through the journey, right? And as we go through the journey, we need to understand that when God the Father looks at us, he doesn't look at us with a look of condemnation. It's already a done deal, right? It's a done deal. In God's eyes, we are finished, right? But we need to go through the process. We need to go through the process of refinement. We need to go. That's what the journey is all about. Even in the world, you grow up and you have to mature. Right? You have to mature. You have to go through a process of growing up as a child, to become a young adult, to become an adult, to become older and wiser. It's all a process. You know, the Lord has shown me if you don't learn your lesson quick, you're going to get left back. And then you have to repeat the cycle all over again. You know? I don't know about you, but I hate pain. You know? I hate pain. I hate getting hurt. I hate having to take a class over again because I messed up. Right? Because I failed. You know? And believe me, I used to want to not take certain classes in high school. I would cut the class. Right? I don't know about you, but in New York, in the Bronx, that's a normal thing. Let's go hang out in the park over there. Yeah, okay. But what about the class? Later for the class. You know? Guess what? When the scores came in, you had to take the class all over again. Right? Same thing in life, you know? You can either learn from your hard knocks and learn the lesson quick and not do it again, or you will repeat the same cycle and the same lesson until you get it. And unless you are hard-headed, what's that phrase again, Pastor? Cabeciduro. Cabeciduro. Right? 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 Elijah, we know about that, right? Yeah, my mom would tell that to my dad many times. No sea cabeciduro. Don't be a hard-headed. Right? And my dad would go, ay, Elisa. You know? But my mom was right. My mom was right, you know? If not, then my mom would pound on the table. Don't be hard-headed. Right? Me and my two sisters, we would say that she was the mother of 100 phrases. You know, Puerto Rican mothers are like that, you know. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, she would, just an example, she would say, oh, that person's neck stinks. That person's neck stinks. And it's like, what does that mean, Mom? Laji, you know what I'm talking about. Right? That person, and why? Because the thought was that person was so stuck up that when they let go of gas, it went up, right? Heat rises. Heat rises. So what happens? Their necks stink, because people like that think that they throw their air better than anybody else, right? You know what? Stink is stink, no matter what, you know? Yeah, I have three dogs now. Like I mentioned, I have three dogs, and they all poop in different areas, you know? But I go around, I have my fantastic pooper scooper, and it has a bag attached to it with claws, and it just scoops it right into the bag, right? And I have to be careful, because my big dog, it's obvious, I can spot it a mile away across the yard, but my little dogs, they're small, so I have to be more careful, right? And sometimes it's dry. But you know what? If you're not careful where you step at, you can take that poop with you in your house, and you're wondering, how come it stinks here? Where's that smell coming from? You don't realize you dragged it into your house because you stepped on it. And life is like that. We have to be careful, because my dog's pooping, that's normal, right? We all do it. But then there's people that want to poop on your parade, and you have to be careful. You have to be wise, right? Jesus said, be wise as a serpent, but gentle as a dove, you know? And we have to do that. We have to be wise, be careful. You know, I go around the yard, and I'm so used to it because they have a pattern. So I know more or less where they do it, you know? And you have to watch out for people's pattern. Unfortunately, you have to. Why? Because right now, we live in this flesh. we live in this flesh, and unfortunately, unless there are walking with angels, you know, we need to watch out. We need to be careful. That's why we need to be refined, so that the Spirit of God is in us, and we learn about discernment and walking wisdom and walking understanding, so that we don't get caught by surprise. The last thing I hate is to pull up my shoe like that and realize that it was me, that I'm the one that stinks, right? Because I stepped on it. I wasn't careful. I had a little Yorkie once that, you know, God speaks to us in different ways and at different times and all that. You know? And many times the Lord will speak to me as I'm picking up the poop, the leftover, right? And I knew where all my dogs do their stuff. But then I had a little Yorkie that he was sporadic. And I said, Lord, what about him? And he said, that is his. Why? Because he was unpredictable. He was unpredictable. And so we learned about people's pattern, but then there's some that are unpredictable. And that's how we need to know and be refined, so that the Spirit of God directs us. Directs our path. Becky said that scripture earlier, right? In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct you. You know? So. Sometimes we get distracted and we lose our way in life. We start chasing the wrong things in life, and before you know it, we are questioning God. Restoration can still happen despite our situation or circumstances or even our surroundings. Right? Job 42:10, he was restored. Right? And Jehovah turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends, and Jehovah gave Job twice as much as he had. Right? So there's always hope for restoration. There's always hope. In God, there's always hope. You know? We fall, we sin, we mess up, right? But God can turn our mess into a message. He can turn our trauma into triumph, right? He can turn anything around if we're willing to surrender. If we're willing to surrender, you know, and so in Psalms 18, verse 28 to 31, right, it says, the word of the Lord is tested and refined in the fire. In the Geneva Bible, it's the only place that I find that it says that the word of God is tested in the fire, right? Other translations says is purified, is pure, is true, is perfect, and all that is true. But when it says that it's tested in the fire, it makes it personal. Why? Because the word of God in us, we are tested. The word of God is correct, it's complete, there's no errors. But when we are tested, it's because the word of God is being tested in us to see how we stand, to see how, are we going to compromise? Are we going to go along with our friends and laugh at their perverted jokes or their silliness? You know, or agree with a lie, then that's when the word of God is being tested in us. When we go through a trial that might take months, are we going to stand steadfast and and allow that fire to test us, to test the word of God in us. How strong is the word of God in us? When the three Hebrew children were thrown into the oven, right? It says that not even the smell of smoke was in them, was on them. Why? Because the third person, right? The angel of the Lord, which is representative of Jesus Christ, the living word, was with them. But now we have the word inside of us. And as it's inside of us, it's going to get tested because we need to be refined. We need to be restored. There's no restoring. I can't say it enough. There's no restoring without refinement because those impurities need to come out, right? You know, the word says that that God is our refiner, right? And that we need to be refined like silver and gold. Silver and gold, when it's first brought up and found, it's in its natural state. And if we want pure gold is transparent. If we want pure gold, it needs to be refined in the fire. Without being refined in the fire, that piece of rock stays like a rock. And if we want to stay in our the way we are, okay, then do nothing. Leave the rock alone. And the rock will be there for ages, and somebody else will pick it up and probably refine it, right? And get the value out of that rock. Same thing with us. We need to be refined. The Lord is our refiner, right? And so, Psalm 17:3. For in a visitation of the night, you inspected my heart and refined my soul in fire until nothing vile was found in me. I wanted my words and my ways to always agree. Can't say it any better. Can't, you know, the word of God is pure and correct and uncorrupt, you know. And so we need to allow the Lord to inspect our heart. We need to be honest and genuine and for real, because we do so much. We do harm to each other. We backbite. We betray. Left alone, this flesh will do the most horrible things in the world. And we read it out there every day. You know, why? Because the life of God is, even in ministers that are falling away, you know, we read it every day. Ministers, congregations, going ballistic, you know. But we need to be refined in our heart. And sometimes it feels like we are going through a little fire. But if we allow the Holy Spirit to refine us, we're going to come out on the other side. We're going to come out on the other side, and we're going to be as gold, you know, as gold. We're not going to take this flesh with us to heaven, you know. It's going to die. It's going to be, if I die before the Lord comes, it's going to be dust. And if I don't die and the Lord comes, it's going to be transformed. So I'm not going to have this flesh anyway. None of us. You know? None of us. Psalm 26:2. Lord, you can scrutinize me, refine my heart, and probe my every thought. Put me to the test and you'll find it's true. Can we be that transparent and ask God, scrutinize me. Scrutinize me. Take that pride away from me. Take that rebelliousness away from me. Take that stubbornness away from me. Take that judgmental attitude away from me. Huh? Because that's what scrutinizing means. That we need to be so for real with God that we tell Him, search me, scrutinize me, go to the deepest core in my life and rip it out. Take it out. I hand it over to you. It's going to be one or the other. You can either hand it out, hand it to God, or He can rip it off. You know? Because one way or another, He wants you to be transformed. He wants you to be restored. He wants you to be refined. Because He has a purpose and a calling for our lives. But He can't do it if there's so much impurities in us. You know? So David said it, you know, scrutinize me. Scrutinize me. Refine my heart. Probe me. You know? Probe me. Probe my every thought. You know? I do it all the time. I have to check myself, you know, because I'm in this flesh. And I have to say, stop. That's not. Somebody cuts me off while I'm driving. You better watch it, buddy. Yeah. And, you know, I have another sticker on the back of my car. It's my little car. It says, forget about the dog. Beware of the owner. I love that sticker. When I first bought it, my wife said, don't put that there in your back of the car. You're Christian. Right? That's why I don't put no Christian sticker on my car. I'm sorry. I don't. Because I know me. You know, the preacher that came here not too long ago and he said about speeding and all that. If I wasn't ministering, I'd be a race car driver. Because I love to speed, you know. And my wife tells me, slow down. Slow down. She's my little helper. She's my little helper. You know, she stopped for the stop sign. Yes, my little helper. The red light is on. Yes, my little helper. You know, you have to learn how to laugh, especially in marriage, right? Yeah, because if you haven't been refined as a single, you're going to be refined as a married couple. You're going to be refined, right? What does the word say? Iron sharpens iron, right? So, husbands, we can't be cabeciduro. That's right. Because our wives come along and set us straight and say, you don't have to tell me. Don't worry about it, right? Slow down, you're speeding. It's 90. You're doing 90 on the 65. I'm trying to get there as soon as I can. I love that when we went to this retreat, there was a speed limit that says 70. I said, yes, yes. And she goes, you're doing 80. You're doing 85. She don't know I got like close to 90, 95 at one point, but I didn't say anything. I was going. with Puerto Ricans, Aji laughs because she knows the culture, right? With Puerto Ricans in New York, if let's say your spouse tells you, it means it's time to stop and cut it. But if she goes like this, it means that when you get home, you're going to get it. You're embarrassing me, so you better stop. You know, you don't have your knife on you, do you? Yeah. Okay, I took all her knives away. So, but you know, it's we need to get into the Word. The Word of God is where we're going to find the refinement. That's why Pastor says, bring your Bible. Bring, you know, get into the Word. Get into prayer. Because that's where the refinement starts. That's where the scrutinizing begins. That's where the Lord, when you kneel down by your bed, that's where the probing begins. And we need to do it according to the Word. If we allow the Word to minister to us, the Lord will use the Word to reveal things to us. You know? And so, it's about time right now. So, just take that into consideration. You know, the Word in Hebrew says that it's alive and powerful and like a two-edged sword to cut through the nonsense, through the grit, through the impurity. But it's only going to be as we learn the Word of God. Thank you, Pastor, for this time. I love it. Thank you.